The book of 1 Timothy, please. The book of 1 Timothy, chapter 5. I have been enjoying studying through books of the Bible together, and we've come to 1 Timothy, chapter 5, verse number 11. 1 Timothy, chapter 5, verse number 11. This is one of the pastoral epistles. This is the Apostle Paul speaking to the young pastor by the name of Timothy, and he's challenging him and giving him things and thoughts about the local church. And I realize that some of these things you may think may not apply to you, but understand that there's nothing in the Word of God that is incidental, nothing that you can't get something out of. God is speaking to us, and we want to see what He has to say. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse number 11. The Word of God says, "But the younger widows refuse, for when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they'll marry, having damnation because they've cast off their first faith. Withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, not only idle, but tattlers also and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give an occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. For some are already turned aside after Satan." If you mark your Bible, I want you to mark three words in verse number 11. It's the three words, "the younger widows." The younger widows. Now let's pray together. I want to share this thought with you. Our Father, we love you tonight. I pray that you help me to teach this with clarity and understanding. I pray, Lord, that you forgive my sins. Help me to be a clean vessel. I pray, Lord, that you have full reign here. And Lord, I pray that you'll speak through me. Teach us from your word. Show us what you'd have us to see. And Lord, help me to teach it accurately. And Lord, I pray that you help us just to simply open the Bible and say what you've already said. May the will of God be done here, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in our last message in this wonderful book, we considered widows indeed. This was in verses 3 through 16, where we learn through that message that the Lord expects His local church to minister to widows who are widows indeed. In other words, if they are desolate, they are truly alone. If they are devoted and they are distinct in so many different ways, the local church is to feel responsible for them. However, the Word of God tells us that it is the will of God for the children and other family members of these widows to take first priority in caring for their widow. When this takes place in verse number 16, we see the church does not become so overburdened that it cannot relieve the widows indeed. Now, that was last week. Now, I have felt the sweet Holy Spirit leading me to speak on another type of widow in the Word of God right here in this text in verses 11 through 15, and it is the younger widows He brings to our attention. Now, beginning in verse number 11 and going all the way through verse 15, this is the type of widow that the Word of God speaks about. Now, this being the case, I want to look at these young widows and these younger widows together and see what the Lord is saying about them. Now understand that Paul is speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, and he is giving this advice, this counsel, this doctrine, if you will, to this church's pastor by the name of Timothy. Now there's three things I want to share with you here, and I want you to learn to apply Scripture how God wants you to apply Scripture. By the way, if we have a younger widow here tonight, I am not encouraged for you. I'm not trying to bring up something that's troubling in your life. However, if you are a younger lady, you need to pay very close attention to what I'm saying tonight, because I want to help this church understand biblically what our duty is when it comes to the younger widows. Now, we saw the older widows last week when they're truly widows indeed, but now he turns our attention to the younger widows, and he gives three things about them. Number one, he gives a command to refuse. We see this in verses 11 through 13. Look at it. "But the younger widows refuse. For when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they'll marry, having damnation because they've cast off their first faith. And withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not." Now, if you'll notice in verse number 11 how the Lord is not asking the church to refuse, but rather commanding the church to refuse the younger widows. Now, stay with me. Don't tune me out. I'm going to explain it. This simply means the church is not to feel responsible
and not to feel a responsibility to these younger widows. Now, the younger widows carries us back to verse number 9, where the Word of God tells us, let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old. Now, it is appropriate for us to say here that younger is a general term without an exact age. However, we know that it also included widows who were still at childbearing age, according to verse number 14. Now, I'd like to say here that this does not mean that we as a local church are to turn a deaf ear to a genuine need of a young widow who truly needs the help of the local church. God's not saying if there's a younger widow and she needs help, you refuse her now, don't give it to her. That's not what he's saying. Stay with me here. What it's showing is that the Lord has set parameters about the responsibility of the local church. In other words, the local church can help them, but they don't need to feel a responsibility to help them because he's setting parameters around them. Now in verses 11, the latter part of it, through verse 13, we see the reasons given as to why the church is not to feel responsible for these younger widows. And the reason is the potential or even the tendency of them back in this day. Now understand the context is what we're talking about. Back in this day, these younger widows had a potential and they had a tendency to do some things. When they were being supported by the local church, they had a tendency and a potential to do some things. Now, are you with me so far? Now, it's important to understand at this point how when a lady back in this day now was taken into the care of the local church in this day, it meant they were making a commitment to the Lord. To my understanding, according to my study, it meant they were devoting their life to the service of the Lord in the local church. However, we see that over time, as the church stepped in and ministered to them and took care of them, these younger widows who stepped in and said, I'm making a commitment from now on to serve Christ and serve this church, and that is my full-fledged duty. Over time, these younger widows would take the help of the church and they would use it for certain things. The first thing that they had the tendency to do is to turn against the Lord. We see this in the latter part of verse 11 and 12. It says, when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation because they've cast off their first faith. Now the words wax wanton here carry the idea of disregarding what is right and not submitting to Christ. Then the Word of God tells us that they will remarry and cast off their first faith. Now the idea here is due to the care of the local church, they would eventually become so dissatisfied with Christ that they would look elsewhere for satisfaction, and many times, excuse me, it was for sexual pleasure. Now stay with me here. In summary, what I'm saying right here is the first reason God gives for the local church to refuse younger widows. That doesn't mean you can't help them, but it means you don't feel responsible for them, is because they have a tendency when the church steps in and takes care of them to use that and turn against God. That's what he's saying. The first reason is because to take care of the local church. Now listen to this. Is these younger widows, now get this, the first reason to refuse these younger widows is because of their tendency to take the care of the local church and use it in such a way that it turns their heart away from commitment to God and service to God, and they would use it to fulfill their own lustful desires. Now stay with me here. This is the first reason he gives. This is why he's commanding to refuse. Secondly, he said, when this happens, if the local church steps in, number two, they have a tendency to turn idle. This is found in verse 13. And withal, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house. Now notice this, word idle means inactive, lazy, and useless. That's what the word means. And here, the idea here is if these young widows were supported by the local church, It would many times lead them to a life of laziness. And it would lead them to a life of laziness because their needs were being met and they could soon become inactive for the glory of God. Then number three, he gives a third reason. And these are strong terms. In verse number 13, he says, listen, if they're cared for by the local church, their duty of going house to house and visiting people in need, they'll begin to wander, tattle, and be a busybody. Read it yourself. That's what he says. And I didn't say it. God said it. The word tattler means to be one who talks foolishly. The word busybodies means to be meddlesome by minding everyone's business but one's own. That's what it means. Now we see in these words of verse 13 that the emphasis is placed if the younger widows were being taken care of by the local church, they may have the tendency to become idle and start wandering around to different places, being discontent with what the Lord had given them to do. Then instead of being a blessing to others they visit, they would only be meddlesome and begin to repeat things they were being told in private. In other words, they had a tendency of being nothing but a big gossip. That's what he's saying right here. And he's saying if the local church is responsible and the local church steps in and takes care of that, the local church is almost encouraging them to become something like that. Now, Psalm 101:5 says, whoso privately slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath an high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. Proverbs 17:9, he that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. Proverbs 21:23, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Let me say this to you. Not just speaking about younger widows here. This is good preaching for everybody. It's not God's will for you to be a blabbermouth. Amen. It's not God's will for me to be a blabbermouth either. God wants us to help meet people's needs, not spread their private issues. And I'm not going to be so naive enough to believe that in a church this size, there's not some gossips. Matter of fact, we have a telephone. Sometimes it's just tell a friend. Amen. And before you know it, it gets over there and gets over there and gets over there. Have you ever told one person one thing, maybe two or three people one thing, and all of a sudden somebody that, I mean, you didn't have a, you never spoke to them, they come back and say, I heard this. Is this true? You know what that's called? That's called gossip, folks. And that's not godly. That is eating churches alive. As a matter of fact, there were three preachers there taking a short breather from their heavy schedules, and they were on a park bench and they were chatting and enjoying an early spring day. One of them said, you know, he said, since all of us are such good friends, this might be a good time to discuss the problems we're having. That was a mistake. So one of them agreed and said, well, I'd like to share with you boys who's my friend. I like to drink in excess. They gasped. The other two, what? Are you serious? Second one come up and said, well, you know, since you're being honest, he said, my big problem's gambling. It's terrible and I can't quit it. I've even been tempted to take some money from the offering plate. Gasped. And the other, are you kidding? The other one just sitting over there quiet. Wouldn't say a word. They were like, what's your problem, man? He said, I don't think I need to tell you. He said, well, come on, we're spilling our guts. He said, well, he said, I am an incurable gossip. And you could go on to say he couldn't wait to get home to his friends. Don't be known as a gossip. Many years ago, the Moody Church News carried a humorous story about a lady in a small town who was known for being a gossip. Now, this can happen with men, too, you understand. It just so happened that this story, it had a lady in it. By the way, a lot of times the ladies get blamed for gossip, and the men are just as guilty. There's no doubt about that. So please don't take this personal, ladies. He made sure it was a lady he picked on, didn't he? No. Just so happened this was a lady. One day on vacation, she visited the office of the Chicago Daily News. She's wearing a white dress and didn't know it, but she leaned against a wall where there was a freshly printed copy of the front page that was hanging. It was hot and humid. Some of the print came off on the back of her dress. And later, as she walked down the street to meet her husband, she noticed that people walking behind her were snickering.
And when she reached the place where her husband was waiting, she asked him if there was anything on her back that shouldn't be there. So he went behind her and looked. And backwards, it was the words, "Daily News." And when he saw those words, "Daily News," on the back of his wife, he said, "No, dear, there's nothing on your back that doesn't belong there." Now, I didn't say that, okay? I'm just repeating a story here, okay? There was a man one time who formed a mutual encouragement fellowship at a time of stress in one of his pastorates. And he used the word "think" to try to help them to think about the words they're getting ready to say. And he said, "Hey, I want to give you an acrostic. Think about your words. Number one, T, is it true? Number two, H, is it helpful? Number three, I, is it inspiring? Number four, N, is it necessary? And number five, K, is it kind?" You know, it's sad to say, but there are people living today that if it's kind, they won't say it. But if it's unkind, they can't wait to spread it. That's ridiculous. That's of the devil. That's what the devil does. The devil's the slanderer. The devil's the accuser of the brethren. And whenever you start spreading things, you're just like the devil, folks. So am I. Of course, I'm perfect. I never deal with this, you understand? You know, we all deal with it. These verses are not teaching that all widows are gossips. That's not what he's saying. He's not saying that all young widows are gossips and idle and wax wanton against Christ. That's not the emphasis. But the emphasis is only that there is a tendency. There's a potential of these things if not careful. See, these widows who went home to home would collect large amounts of information and they would use it to be nothing but a gossip to hurt people. And because of these tendencies, when taken care of by the local church, Paul said, "Let me just throw something out." Refuse them. Don't feel responsible for them. That's number one. Number two, there's not only a command to refuse, there was a counsel to receive. We see this in verse 14. He said, "I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully." Now, after the Apostle Paul gives the command to refuse these younger widows, he turns his attention to giving the younger women counsel. Now, as I believe this is truly younger women, in other words, all younger women, in context, we need to see how he also had the younger widows in mind. He's speaking in context to the younger widows, but it's interesting that he goes from younger widows in verse 11 to young women in verse 14. So all young women need to pay attention to this counsel and need to receive this counsel, but specifically younger widows. Counsel number one, marry. Now in this statement, we see Paul is making it clear that it's not wrong for young women and even young widows to marry. This goes to show that in verses 11 and 12, he's not forbidding their marriage, but he's rather forbidding their marriage when they get married to somebody and cast off their first faith. In other words, some of these younger widows were getting so impatient and getting so discontent with Christ that they yoked up with the first man that came down the pike. Didn't matter if he was a Christian or not. So the Apostle Paul saying, listen, there's nothing wrong with getting married, but make sure you get married in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 7:39. Now, even though we're speaking here mainly concerning younger widows, let me say a word to the younger women in general in our church, such as the teenagers or young single ladies. What I want to say is it is typically, now get this, it is typically the will of God for you to get married. Typically, that is God's will. However, let your pastor give you a word of encouragement. Let me give you some counsel to receive. Don't yoke up with anything that turns his head at you. Amen. Don't settle for anything less than the will of God for your life. Learn to wait on God.
So many young people, and Hollywood is kind of helping this movement. I'm talking about, hey, you just need to dress in a way that you turn the boy's head. Yeah, and if you turn his head, there'll be other women turn his head too. Amen. And what I'm saying to you, younger women, teenage girls, don't settle for anything less than the will of God in marriage. Don't do it. You say, oh, he's just the greatest thing I've ever seen. But I say, hey, he's not saved. But what does that matter? Maybe I can reach him. Then maybe you know more than God, ma'am. Because God's the one that told you not to yoke up with unbelievers. And what I'm saying to you here, let me just get right here and shake the bush a little while. I am tired of teenagers throwing their life away for a young man that he doesn't love her more than anything else, but all he wants is what he can get. Amen. And I'm telling you tonight, you wait on God. You pray, you seek God, you ask God to open it up. And when God shows you who he wants you to marry, then you proceed. But you make sure God's in it. Amen, you parents. Amen me on that one now. Help me out. These teenagers go by feelings. How does it feel? How does he look? This must be right because I've got goosebumps all over me. Hogwash. That's a bunch of junks what that is. And I'm telling you from a first-hand account, nothing beats marrying in the will of God. First counsel to receive, marry. Second counsel, bear children. Now, let me say from the beginning here that not all women are able to bear children. God's made it to where some women just cannot do that. However, if the Lord permits a husband and a wife to be blessed with children, this is not to be looked down upon. This is a great blessing. Some women don't want children because they feel it'll hinder their career. Some of them are like that. I'm never having kids because if I do, my husband's going to make more than I do, and I'm not going to make sure that happens. I'm telling you that right now. That kind of attitude's out there, folks. It's silly. It's crazy, but it's out there. Let me tell you something. Psalm 127:3 says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." Others don't want to have children because of the evil world around them. And they're afraid to bring them into this evil world. But if God's children don't have children and train them in the ways of God, who will? Who will? God is saying right here, he's given some counsel to receive. Marry, bear children. Number three, guide the house. This is all verse 14. I realize that the days we live in are difficult days. And some marriages could seemingly not make it if the wife didn't work. Matter of fact, probably a majority of ladies work outside the home. And I'm not casting punches. I'm not throwing punches. I'm not saying any of that. But you do want me to be a... Look at me, please. You do want me to preach what God says, right? Do you? I hope you do, because that's what you're going to get. I'm going to give you what God says. And I'm not throwing punches because most ladies work outside the home. But it's still best, if possible, that they don't. That's Bible. Because the Word of God tells us here. Now, if you do, fine. That's between you and the Lord. I'm not telling you you're wicked out of God's will. No way. I'm not saying that. But I'm simply saying, typically, this is what God would have it to be. It's still best for the wife, if possible now, to stay at home and influence the children throughout the day, if at all possible. As a matter of fact, there's no daycare available anywhere that can compare to a godly mother's tender love and care for the child. There's no daycare anywhere that can compare to it. Nowhere. Now again, I'm saying if it's possible. Everybody understand me, right? Nobody's mad at me, right? If it's possible, you see? If it's possible. Amen. Guide the house. Many ladies are made to feel second rate if they don't have a career and instead decide to be a full-time mother. However, let me say that it's God's high calling for a woman to be married, if possible, bear children, if possible, raise them for the glory of God. As a matter of fact, if you fail with your children, you're a failure. I don't care how much money you make. You fail with your kids, it's over. Every lady will need to decide what the Lord wants her to do, along with her husband. But a career will not compare to a contribution with the children, if at all possible. Titus 2, 4, and 5 says that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. There was a Scottish preacher who told the story of a lady in his church that he visited. And as they were talking, she began to weep. She was an older lady at this time. And the preacher asked her what her trouble was when she began to tell him that as a young girl, she had surrendered her life to God. But now that she was older, she sometimes thought she had done so little for him. And the preacher asked her what she had done in her life, and she proceeded to tell him about washing clothes and cooking meals, mopping floors, rearing children. When he heard those words, rearing children, he then asked her, he said, okay, I understand you have some sons. Where are your boys at? And she told him how she had named her sons after gospel books. She said Mark was a missionary to China. Luke ministered at a mission station in Africa. Matthew served with his brother in China, and John, who was only 19, wanted to be a missionary in Africa with his brother Luke. Presently, this 19-year-old boy, John, was caring for his mother who's speaking since she was so close to being with the Lord. The preacher responded when he heard that here she is, an older lady, questioning her life, what difference have I made? Yes, she's got four boys that wanted to serve God and four boys that wanted to be on the mission field. And that preacher made this statement. He said that he wanted to see what her heavenly reward must be, because surely it must be great. Can I say something to the ladies tonight, especially the younger generation, maybe even the older generation, that you're on this side of the pendulum, so to speak, and you look back and say, what have I done for God? Can I challenge you with something? Don't ever let the world call a lady who pours her life out into her children and raises them for God. Don't ever let Hollywood or some ladies' liberation movement or some kind of ungodly book or some kind of ungodly sitcom, don't you let anything make you feel second rate for pouring your life out into your kids. Amen. My wife's in the service. She's up in the balcony. She comes in late because she works with the cadet program. And I tell you, I don't know what I'd do without my wife. I like to lift her up as much as I can. She's a godly girl. She's my baby. She stays at home with our kids. And you, dear people, make that possible because you treat me so well. And because she stays home with our kids, our little baby girl, she's telling me today, it's not great, but our little baby girl's learning, Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. My wife is able to stay with our son. I try to go home for lunch as much as I can so I can spend some time there. I go home after work. Hey, my family comes before this church, folks. No doubt about it. Matter of fact, I can't be the pastor God's called me to be unless I'm the daddy and the husband that God's called me to be. And you know that. And I'm trying to spend as much time as I can with them. I had Judson out with me yesterday. We were visiting the fields. I take him with me like that on purpose because I want him to be exposed to these kind of things. Judson I'm summarizing. I don't remember exactly what it was. But he's so excited because he wants to start telling people about the Lord. He wants to see his first convert to Jesus Christ. He's 7 years old. You say, Jody, boy, you had a big hand in that. I may have a little hand in that, but I know who's got the bigger hand in it. She's sitting up in the balcony. She's training those kids for God. And this is the advice, this is the counsel that Paul is giving to Timothy to give to his church, the counsel to receive. Marry in the Lord. Bear children. Guide the house. Number four. Give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. This is all verse 14. What a powerful verse.
The word occasion speaks of a starting point. Here's the idea. The devil is the adversary. There's other adversaries of the gospel. There's adversaries of the Christian home. There's all kinds of them. And they're looking for a starting point to accuse. They're looking for a beginning point to reproach. They're looking for something so they can say, "Oh, there we go. Now look at that." That's the idea here. The word occasion means starting point. He's saying, don't give a starting point to the adversary to speak reproachfully. In order to keep them from having a source of slander, it's best for younger women, including widows, younger widows, it's best typically for them to marry again. This way they'll not be vulnerable to sin against the Lord Jesus like in verses 11, 12, and 13 and go the way of the world. In other words, they were to heed this counsel so the adversary would not have anything to hold on to in trying to make an open show of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you know what the devil wants? You know what the adversary wants? He wants verse 11 and verse number 12 and verse number 13 to be your life. He wants you to wax wanton against Christ. He wants you to have damnation. He wants you to cast off your first faith. He wants you to be idle. He wants you to wander around. He wants you to be tattlers and busybodies and speaking things you shouldn't speak. So the word of God steps in and says, to combat that, let the younger women marry. Let them bear children. Let them guide the house so they give no occasion to the adversary to speak and say things reproachfully. This is a powerful portion of Scripture. Then number three, we've noticed number one, a command to refuse. Number two, a counsel to receive. Number three, we see a caution to remember. Verse number 15, look at it. For some are already turned aside after Satan. In this verse, Paul brings out a sobering thought. What he had just said in verse number 14, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. What he had just said is the potential in verses 11 to 13 that they would wax wanton and turn against Christ and cast off their first faith and be tattlers and busybodies. What he's just said, he gives a sobering thought that it has already happened to some. What a caution. This simply means that what Paul was warning about in these verses had already happened to some of these young widows. Some had already turned away from the Lord. Some had turned after the ways of the devil. Some had turned from following the Lord and acted according to the ways of the devil, gossiping and behaving as busybodies. What a sad statement. However, what a caution this is for all of us to remember. It has happened, and it is still happening. Therefore, we must tie ourselves down to the wonderful Word of God and make sure that we do not turn away from God and turn to the way of the devil. Now, in these last two messages, we have seen how the Lord is very, very interested in widows. He's interested in the older widows in verses 3 through 16, excluding verses 11 to 15. That was last week. And he's also interested in younger widows, which is what we dealt with tonight. Now, in this message, we've been considering the younger widows. And as we notice these younger widows, we have seen how there was a command to refuse them due to the tendency that when they are supported by the local church, they had a tendency to turn away from the Lord and follow their own sinful ways. Then we noticed how there was a counsel to receive, how Paul encouraged these young women, including widows, to marry, bear children if possible, guide the house, and give none occasion to the adversary. We concluded with the caution to remember that there were already some younger widows who had turned away from following Christ and were instead going the way of the devil. Now, as I close with this, I want to ask you some questions. Number one, are you in God's family? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Has there been a time in your life when you've trusted Christ and Christ alone and His finished work on Calvary? If there hasn't been, tonight's your night. God is standing with his arms open wide, and he wants to save your soul. Question number two, is it possible that I'm speaking to a younger widow? If it is, heed the warning. Understand that the church is to step in and help you if they can, but the church is not to feel responsible for you. That doesn't mean they can't help you, and that doesn't mean it should discourage you from ever coming for help, because we want to help all people as much as we can. But God is making it very clear to the local church, I don't want you to feel responsible for them, because the tendency that it creates. Question number three, do you know of a young widow? Have y'all know of a younger widow? Would you raise your hand? You know of a younger widow. Yes. This message might help them. They need the Lord just like anybody else, right? Question number four, are you following the Lord? Or are you following the devil? I know this is younger widows, but learn to apply it to your life. Are you wax wanton against Christ? You becoming dissatisfied with him? I want to ask you a question. How's that possible? How's it possible to become dissatisfied with God? Question number five. Are you idle or are you busy for the Lord? Are you doing something for God or are you lazy? Some people say, Jody, I work all week. I don't have time to go soul winning. I want you to look at me closely. That's laziness. How dare you? You don't know how much I work. True, but I know God never gives you command that he does not give you the strength to fulfill. Amen. There's no excuse when it comes to serving God. Can you look at God and say, you understand I'm not going to go soul winning. You understand I'm not going to read your Bible. You understand, and you even agree with me, God, that I'm not going to pray. I just don't have time. Start talking to him and see if the excuses measure up. Question number six, I've only got seven, so I'm about through. Are you using your mouth for the glory of God or to gossip about others? It's not God's will for you to be a gossip. He wants you to glorify him. Question number seven. Are you giving any occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully? I'm saying, are you giving any starting point to the adversary? Are you giving him something that he's been looking for? I can use that. Oh, I can use that. Yes, thank you for doing that. That gives me a starting point right there. See, he's constantly out to reproach the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he wants to use you and me as a starting point. Let's make sure we don't let him start with us. Amen. That is the message of the younger widows tonight. Let's pray together, shall we? Our Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for your goodness to us. And I pray that you help us to understand this thought about the younger widows. Powerful thought. And I pray, our Father, that you'll help us to learn these lessons, to understand as a local church what our responsibility is and is not, and help us all never to wax wanton against you, never to turn idle, become a wanderer, tattler, or busybody. But help us, Lord God, to follow the counsel of your word. And help us, Lord, to give no occasion to the adversary. And to remember that this has happened to others, which means it can still happen to us. Help us, I pray, as we go our separate ways. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. I'm going to go ahead and dismiss the bus workers, bus captains. You can go out.